Father, thank you for this day, All Saints' Day, when we remember that you call us saints. When you look at us, you see us in Christ. You see us as people who have been bought back through the precious blood of your Son and who stand before you for all that we are. We stand before you in Jesus and know ourselves accepted and loved by you. But also, Lord, we know ourselves as people who are saints. We are called to serve. And we ask you, Lord, this morning, encourage us as we stand together and serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to say it is good to be with you. As Simon's told me, it is good to be with you. It's actually good to be back here at a church that I do know a bit. My previous job was with Through Faith Missions. And when David Rhodes was here as vicar, came a number of times. Remember doing a training weekend here in this church for one of our walk missions. And we were sending people out. We made it into a mini mission. And quite a lot of local people came with us to do the pub visiting. And they were giving out the pubs. And they said, right, the White Horse. And there was a from around the room, from all the locals. And we went, something we should know about the White Horse? And we went, oh, no, lovely pub, really nice. Now, it might have changed now, of course, but it was obviously a pub with a bit of a reputation in those days. And it was interesting, the team that went there actually had the best time of any of the teams in all the pubs. So it's good to be back, and I know there are people here that I know. Actually, it was lovely in the last church to meet Wendy Steers, who I think used to be here, but I knew Wendy from the missions as well, so that was a nice surprise. But that's all by the by, and that doesn't count in my time. I asked this morning if we could actually have John 15, which we had at the previous church. So you'll have to, if you've got your Bibles with you, you might want John 15 open. It's a favourite passage of mine, and I was trying to think about what would be appropriate on All Saints' Day, and as we're thinking about vision and so on, as Simon said about your vision and all that kind of thing. Because the All Saints readings themselves tend to think more about what's happening right at the end of time. And I thought what we need to focus on is what we're doing now. So John 15, the passage, for those of you who don't know it, is where it says, Jesus says, I am the true vine. And he talks about the vine and the branches. And I just want to bring three things out of that. It is a favorite passage of mine. I did preach for it for a whole month of Sundays once. I'm not big on the lectionary. I think it dots around too much. So I just sort of tear it up and do what I want, really, if I think it's more purposeful. They actually called me John 15 Hibbard after I'd preached on it for so long. But it's one of those passages, and there's so many of them in the Bible, which is so rich. You can actually just take one theme from it, and that will do you for a sermon, and then come back to it. Because so often we move on, don't we, from one thing to the next, and you think, well, I'm not sure we really got everything out of that bit. We haven't chewed the bone over properly. And I'm just going to scratch the surface today with three things, really, from that passage. The first one is the basic image that dominates it. I am the vine, you are the branches, says Jesus. And the essential element to that is that the branches are rooted in Christ. And that's clearly both in the sense of personal. We need to know Christ personally. We need to know ourselves in him. Someone says to you, is Christ in your life? Not to be able to say, not sure, but actually to say, yes, I know Christ in my life. But it's also, at the very same time, a corporate image. It's not, I am the vine, you are the branch. Forget the rest of them. It's, I am the vine, you are the branches, together. We are in this as the body of Christ, aren't we? And so often people have said to me when I've been doing mission work, oh, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, you know. And you think, oh, really? Let's have a little chat about that. And it's actually that realizing that the togetherness is as important as the personal faith that underlies it. So it's a great image, I think, first of all, for that balance. The second thing now about a vine is that the vine has an utterly clear purpose, doesn't it? What is a vine for? It is to bear fruit. And if it doesn't bear fruit, it's not worth having the space to have it there. Jesus tells some quite challenging parables about that. And Christians will often say, okay, so what do you mean by fruit? Do you mean the fruit of the Spirit, you know, that change of life, that growing, that deepening of faith? Or does it mean about growing fruit as in increasing numbers, about more people coming to share in this faith and in this vine? And so often in the Bible, it's better to go both and than either or, isn't it? So I'm not going to deny that element of growing in faith. But actually the accent here in this reading is on increase in numbers. That's the main theme, if you like, that is here. And what that shows us is that the church is designed to grow. Now, I think that's a really important message for us to hear and to hold on to. The church is designed to grow in numbers, not through gimmicks or techniques, but by being rooted in Christ and being purposeful about growth, actually keeping it in focus. And we haven't always done that, have we? I don't mean necessarily as an individual church, but generally as the church. Sometimes we've taken our eye off that ball. We've had people who said, oh, it's not about bums on pews. And you think, well, actually, in one sense, yes, it is. Because every one of those bottoms on a pew or on a nice chair is another person who has found that faith in Christ. And that's so important, isn't it? Because each of those individuals matter. And the final thing I want to take from that reading very briefly is the vine as a community. If you go through the reading, if you go through John 15, it sort of changes as it goes through. There's sort of different sort of things come into focus. And the bit that I'd chosen to go through to was verse 13. And those final few verses focus on one thing that characterizes this community, and it is love. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, love one another. And he also says, love one another as I have loved you. It sounds straightforward, doesn't it? Sounds quite simple, not difficult to understand, but I think difficult to do. One of the most challenging commands that Jesus gives us is to love one another as I have loved you, sacrificially, to the point of giving up your life for the other person. And yet I think that kind of community, if we exhibit it as a church, is absolute dynamite, isn't it, in terms of our witness. People would say, if that's the sort of community the church is, then I want to be part of that. But this, looking very briefly at this John 15, this is who you are as a church. This is who we are as a church. The saints, the branches of the one true vine, Jesus Christ. It's a marvelous picture, isn't it, of what we are. So what does that mean for us today as we think about your vision for growth? About 10 days ago or so, I came over to meet with Simon to find out a little bit more about the context, about what's been happening. And he asked me in this talk if I would paint something of the bigger picture as an encouragement to you as you're thinking about, well, what are we doing here to grow and how does that fit in more widely? I think that's partly because we all know the bigger story of the church in the UK in the late 20th and early 21st centuries, don't we? We all have a picture of it, and it's a picture of decline in numbers, of aging of congregations, and of massive cultural shifts that have been happening in our society that perhaps make certain aspects of Christian faith more difficult. So where are the signs of hope, basically, is what I want to try and bring to you this morning. A quick aside, really, you may have noticed that when I said the big picture of the church, I did say that that was the church in the UK. Actually, if we look at the church in the world, the whole world, it's a bit different, isn't it? The church in Africa, the church in South America or Asia is not declining in numbers or indeed aging. So it just proves, if you like, underlies my point that the church is designed to grow. There's nothing wrong with it, really. But there must be something happening here that is different. Even in places like China, where you've got serious repression, the church is still growing massively, and probably, it's hard to tell, but probably is now the biggest church in any country in the world. And you think, well, that's quite something, isn't it? We don't face quite the challenges they do in that sense. So I wanted to think about, before we think about what you're doing here locally, is to think nationally and then as a diocese, to try and sort of paint a bigger picture and hopefully encourage you. Nationally, I've picked out two things, really. One is the Crossroads Mission, first of all. You might expect me to pick that out because I had to organise it. So I do know quite a lot about it, and it's sort of one of those things people kept saying to me just before it happened. They were saying, I bet you'll be glad when it's next week. And you think, yes, in a way, I know what you mean, I will be, because it was getting particularly busy. But in another way, that's a bad way to think, isn't it? Because you think, no, I've been working up to this, and I hope that it goes really well. This was an initiative from the Archbishop of York, who basically drew his bishops together in a retreat, and they were talking about, he was talking about the fact that we need to re-evangelize the north of England. We need again to spread the gospel because people need to hear it afresh in every generation. We ended up here, as you know, I think probably with 21 visiting bishops plus the Archbishop for 4 days doing evangelism. And as I've been thinking about that, you realize that probably even 5 years ago, that would have been impossible. Even if the Archbishop had said to his bishops, I think we ought to do this, there would have been a debate. And some of them would have gone, well, I don't know. I don't know. Is that right? You know, or they'd have said, well, what do we mean by mission? And suddenly they'd have got into some theological debate and nothing would have happened. But things have changed. And I think that is really encouraging. Every appointed bishop now has 3 main priorities that they're given as part of their job description. The other two I won't bore you with, but one of them is mission and evangelism. In other words, mission nationally in the church has risen to the top of the agenda, as it absolutely has to do. And that's really a piece of good news. I know for you here locally, you had the Archbishop come to Friday Feast, didn't you? Great just to be getting them out and getting involved in all these different things. But we reckon that across the diocese, while we had them with us for 4 days, tens of thousands of people will have heard something of the good news of the gospel. And that's very significant numbers. Just getting out there, a lot of one-to-one stuff, but also some great events. And I don't know if any of you were at the finale, but the Archbishop preached really clearly at the finale in the centre of Rotherham in the town square, and we saw people come to faith there. He had a marvellous card that he had. He had a picture of Christ on the cross, and underneath it, it had, he did this for me, and I don't give a damn. When I first read it, I thought, does it really say that? I thought, I'm not sure I could get away with that, but I suppose if you're the Archbishop, you can. And then on the back of it, it had another sticky label that said, he did this for me, and I give him my all. And basically, he used that card as he preached, and it was based on a particular story as well, but he used the card and said to people, which one are you? And you can see that in one sense, he gave people no kind of grey area, did he? He said, either you see Christ as all in all for you, or you count him as absolutely nothing. And I thought it was a stunning piece of preaching. And again, just an encouragement to see that we've got an archbishop who will preach that clearly about the gospel of Christ and the need to respond to what God has done for us. But there's one final thing I want to say about the mission very briefly, and that is that we know that the mission has made a deep impact on the bishops who came. The week after, they had their regular College of Bishops meeting, and I've had feedback through Bishop Stephen and through one or two of the others that they couldn't stop talking about it. They were really energized by having gone out and simply shared their faith with people. Now you might think, so what does that mean? Well, I think what that means is that they are going to think really deeply about what that, you know, how they then apply that in their own diocese and how it will affect policy and the way people go about things. So I think it's deeply encouraging. But you may be thinking, well, it's all fine for bishops, but what about for the rest of us? Are there any other encouragements for us as we share our faith as ordinary people? And I want to point you to a survey that's been done recently on behalf of the churches together in England. You'll find the results on a website called Talking Jesus. It's not come kind of sort of strange animated cartoon character. It's a website which has gathered together this information. And there's two things you can see there. You can download and read a very short report. It's not particularly long, but it gives you a whole load of an analysis of these questions. Or you can have a look at a two-minute video clip, which they basically asked a lot of non-Christian people about their attitudes to Jesus, to God, to the church, and so on. And the results were deeply encouraging. I want to read you just a part of the summary, just a very brief bit. It says, what this study reveals is that people are far more open than we might realize. After we've had conversations with non-Christians about Jesus, one in five of them is open to finding out more about him. The majority of people in this country still identify themselves as Christians, although they're not practicing. The people who know us like us. They think we're caring, good-humored, and friendly. They are open to us and open to Jesus. Now, this is a major survey. And one of the things that they're sort of trying to say in the report is, if you had a shop and they were trying to work out whether they had good access to their customers, they would do sort of various sort of analysis to see whether their customers or potential customers were open to them. If they got the kind of results that this survey gave them, they would be over the moon, is basically what it's saying. Now, I know we're not a shop and we haven't got a product, but what it's saying is, as people who want to share Jesus with other people, this is a most encouraging set of results. So I do encourage you to have a look at that survey and to think about how you can then make use of that individually and as a church. But I want to draw a bit closer from national down to diocese level. What might encourage you at the level of the diocese? Now, I've talked about, in my introduction, Simon asked me about parish support team. We've been going now for nearly 18 months. I came here to join this. You probably spotted I don't come from Yorkshire from my accent. First time I've ever lived up here and really enjoying it. I came because I saw this post, and what impressed me was the fact that the diocese had put mission at the heart of diocesan strategy. Basically, everything else was shaped around doing mission. Their difficulty was that while they had a good mission plan, or a good mission vision, as I said, they didn't have a way of implementing it. And our role is to try to do that, to help churches to engage in mission. One of the first things that we've done right across the diocese, as you'll probably know, is mission action planning. Now, I know that you've already been doing this as a church, but you're in a minority in that sense. And what we've tried to do is to get all the other churches doing it. And the first round of mission action planning, we've had about 80% of the churches, maybe slightly more, 80, 85 now, because they're still dribbling in, have engaged in that process. And it's really important because there are a lot of churches who just sort of dawdle along, really, and don't have any particular idea about where they're going. And what this process does is helps them to think about, well, what are our priorities? How can we change? If we're declining, what could we do about it, rather than just kind of shrugging our shoulders and thinking, oh, well, that's life. So that's been an important thing that's happened. And certainly as I've seen stuff coming back in, you've seen the churches who've have begun to realize there are possibilities for change. And now what we're trying to do is the next stage is to resource them, to help them to do that. Other things are coming up as well, things like the Centenary Project Workers, which is resourcing a whole load of children and youth workers. And obviously, there's some overlap again here with what you've been doing. So there are things happening at the diocesan level. And certainly one of the things that's encouraged me and one of the reasons why I came to Sheffield is because I've realized that the senior team, the bishops, and the others at the centre of the diocese are keen for Bishan and will support it. And you might think, well, surely every bishop and diocese would do that. I have to disillusion you. Sadly not. There are places where it's a much tougher call, and actually we're in a good place. So if you're trying to engage in mission, you're going to be supported by those who are at the centre. So finally, coming down locally to your church, your mission statement is very prominent in everything you do. Simon, explained to me how it sort of appears everywhere. Joyfully connecting Jesus with the community of High Green through a shared journey of hope, service, and love. I'm sure you all know it off by heart, but I don't, so I have to read it. And I know that you're seeing the impact of several things, aren't you, of having a family's worker. As I talked about the Centenary Project, to reconnect with the younger generation, but also the ongoing community project and the new allotment project. Great opportunities. And then the ministry among older people, which seems to have been a surprise development. It's interesting, I said earlier, one of the things I do is teach on the Mission Shaped Ministry course. And one of our mission definitions is seeing what God is doing and joining in. Maybe in some ways with the older people, that's something you're doing. You think, oh, God's sending us older people. Better do something about it. You know, it wasn't what we'd necessarily planned, but that's great, isn't it? When God, we believe God goes before us in mission. If God does that, then you simply respond. As I just draw to a close, just thinking again about that John 15 reading, I think one of the things I just want to end by is encouraging you to think about again the picture of the vine. We are there to grow as a church. We are there to grow and to bear fruit. But as we do so, we do it as the body of Christ or as the vine, depending on what image you want to use, where each one of us plays our part. Now, that can be in terms of our giving our time, giving our talents, the gifts that God has given us, but also giving our finance of seeing, actually, we can see there's a vision and we want to support that in all of those ways. So I would just encourage you and challenge you at the end of this talk to say, right, what am I going to do? How am I going to play my part to take things forward here and to see God bear fruit in this place? Amen.